Gino, by the way, the most lovable villain ever on TV. Like, I like that guy. Like, I feel like I'd go have beers with that guy. Hello, Addison.
Billy Dukes. I liked this episode better than last episode, so I'm excited to talk about it today. I know
we cannot get on the same page because I didn't enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed last week's episode. So I don't know what it is with you and me, but I still thought episode 5 was pretty strong. It was kind of the episode we needed.
We're going to talk today about just our reaction to episode 6 trailer, which you'll have that for us, which I'm excited because I have not seen the trailer. I will admit I have already seen the screener for episode 6. So don't worry. I've taken notes. There will be no spoilers today, but I am excited to just talk about that later on in the episode, as well as, of course, we've got to go into the weeds. And I did try to put on your glasses of find the random Easter eggs. Like, did you pause and squint at this piece of paper on this man's desk, Addison? That type of level of sleuthing. Can't really tell you I got very far in that, but I did try.
I do feel a little bit like Taylor Sheridan's just taking care of his buddies because he kind of name checked Troy Aikman's beer and made sure he got a little bit of some love during the episode.
Billy, you know what I'm annoyed by right now? I was going to share that information.
I'm sorry.
But he did. Sorry. I was wondering if Troy Aikman was struggling for beer sales.
There was a little bit of a tease of some heartbreak within episode 5 that I want to get to, but also let's get to this week's poll. If you're listening, you can email your response to staff@tasteofcountry.com, but if you're watching on the YouTube stream, I like to start a poll each week, and this week's poll question is pretty simple. Is Landman a comedy or a drama? Take your time. You can vote later. Don't rush your vote. It's a big decision. Okay, let's move on to the next thing.
Okay.
You tell me when you got up with an answer. We can't all sit here for 5 minutes for you to decide. So we got.
Okay, yeah. Time's ticking. Also, let me lower my camera real quick. Okay, so let's move on to trivia. What was the trivia last week? I just remember it was something I did not know how to answer.
Last week's trivia question, and as always, this is for one of the great Dutton Rules t-shirts available at tasteofcountrystore.com. We ask a new trivia question each week. I'm going to give you last week's answer now. A little bit later in the show, we'll ask for we'll give the this week's trivia question, and that'll be your chance to respond. Last week's was, what is Cammie's late husband's full name?
Yeah, that was the whole Billy pause the cemetery scene on the headstone.
You know how I love these headstones. Whenever they show a headstone, I've been doing this for years, y'all. There's a cemetery on stage in a Taylor Sheridan show. That's where all the clues are.
Billy will find the... kind of a... No, I was about to say, Billy will find the long lost nephew, uncle, cousin of... Yeah.
I'm about 2 more tombstones away from doing a whole Montgomery family tree. So just hopefully that... Anyways, congratulations to Jeffrey from... Don't remember where Jeffrey's from, but he knew his full name was Montgomery Edward Miller. Monty Miller.
Cool.
Jeffrey, we'll be in touch. We'll get you your t-shirt. Certainly appreciate it. And as always, if you have questions, comments, you know the trivia answer for the later, but later this week, you can drop it in the actual comments of this video, not the chat, or staff@tasteofcountry.com is the place to be for that.
All righty. Let's go. And jump into, and later we will be announcing the trivia. Billy panicked. The trivia for next week. They'll come out a little bit later in this episode. So first, let's go. Let's get our knife and fork and let's dive in to episode 5. Billy, can I ask you a question?
Please.
Can you explain to me the whole problem that Cooper is in that we find and figure out? It involves a lot of intricate math. I was a communication major, minored in journalism. My brothers are the finance people.
We have been mathing hard this season of Landman. I mean, like, hard. They are asking an awful lot of us with Landman this season. And I've been keeping up to speed a little bit later. I think I can pretty eloquently and simply break down what Cammy's money problems are and where that money went. As far as I can figure, Cooper never told Galino, aka Dan Morrell, where to send the $40 million he was loaned. So as a result, Cooper's getting all these bills, but for some reason, they're all sending them to Tommy Norris's place. Mm-hmm. Tommy believes that Cooper's never going to see any of that money because the contract that Cooper and Dan Morrell worked out is bogus and one-sided. So Tommy's going to have Emtex basically buy that contract, finance it so that Galino never has to give them a drop of their money, and they stay clear of the cartel, at least in that regard. I did not understand the intricacies of why Cooper is in big trouble like that and why he's not going to see that money, because it does seem like Dan Morrell wants Cooper to succeed financially. I mean, that's how he's going to keep him under his thumb if you believe that he's, you know, only in it for nefarious means. So it does seem like Cooper would strike it rich. I haven't figured out totally like where the twist or the rub is on that.
Well, and can you explain, because then in all of this, Tommy explains to Cooper, like, hey, you can come and work under me to help this situation. And that's where I get confused. But you know what I did learn? A dang landman can make about $9,000 per month. That man, you are making six figures a year. I might change careers.
Plus bonuses. That was actually a little less than I thought they made, but that's still really, really good money. Upwards of $200,000. And I think the reason Tommy is doing that is he wants to kind of maybe start training Cooper the right way. Start him from scratch, make him a landman. He's clearly got some instincts that everybody wants to follow up on, but he got a little bit ahead of the tips of his skis. He started him off slow and then kind of build him up and send him off into the world. So he's going to take his leases and then hire him to be a landman.
Hey, once again, he still always reminds me of Jimmy a little bit from Yellowstone, where it's like there are just a few screws that haven't been fully screwed in yet to that brain. And so innocently, he gets himself into, I mean, pretty precarious situations. They're not, you know, a little slap on the wrist. I mean, we're dealing with the cartel and Cooper in this situation.
And, you know, you say Cooper and Jimmy, that's actually a fairly apt comparison. We've been comparing them maybe a little bit to Casey and Monica because of the love story with Ariana, but maybe it is the Jimmy and the veterinarian love story that lines up a little bit better, because the vet was a little bit sharper than Jimmy was, and Ariana seems to be a little bit sharper than Cooper in some regards. And, well, it seems that relationship is just really, really blossoming.
Okay,
I'd marry you tomorrow. Today. If a priest lived next door, I'd make him do it right now.
There's a few more steps to it than that. First, you have to ask me. Before you ask me, you need to ask my father.
Going to the chapel, and we're about now going to get married. We really went from, you know, prior to the funeral, we need to go separate ways or just take a time out, to now, boom, let's get hitched, baby. That is a whirlwind of emotions.
Cooper has made a fortune, lost a fortune, lost a girl, and got the girl back all within the span of 6 days. Like the
I need to drink whatever water Cooper's drinking, because somehow it all worked out for him.
Couple points with this. First of all, we forget that Ariana's like the mother of a small child. And when you're this mother of a small child, your mornings do not begin like that. You don't just get to slowly sort of wake up and brush the hair out of your lover's eyes late morning, looking just stunningly beautiful. Like, you're tired. You've been woken up 3 or 4 times. You just want to sleep in. You probably have bad breath. Like, that's more of a closer reality. But I understand that's not what they wanted to depict here.
I really actually have thought about that. Anytime I see movies where the girl turns over and I'm like, you don't look, there are no puffiness under your eyes, no drool stains. That's not real.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. Like, let's remember this Landman timeline. Season one lasted like 10 to 14 Landman days. Then we had 7 weeks between seasons. That's according to Cammy earlier this season. And now this season has lasted about 6 days so far. So we're talking 20 and 46. 9 or 10 weeks ago, Cooper and Ariana did not know each other. She was married to Elvio. Now all of a sudden they're in love and about to get married, and she's like, Elvio who?
It's so true. And I mean, I think in that regard, I understand why Tommy is a little bit, I mean, he's not full-fledged yes to this relationship. You can tell, not necessarily from day one, but if maybe episode three, of a little bit of, okay, a little bit tender towards it. And that would make sense on your timeline of this really has only been, what, 2 months? Two and a half?
Of course, not to waste any time. Cooper hops right in the truck, drives 6 or 7 hours from Midland to Corpus Christi, and meets with Ariana's dad.
I'd like to ask her to marry me. And I'd like your permission. I know you don't know me, and I doubt I look like what you dreamed her husband.
I don't have dreams for my daughter. She does that for herself. She's a grown woman. You don't need my permission. She knows that. She just wanted to see if you'd do it.
How do you feel about Ariana playing all these games with Cooper?
I think he's just like an innocent little man, and it's pretty, she's very opinionated, but then manipulative. I don't know. I just feel bad for him.
Ultimately. A little bit. And that dog was staring. That dog was just like the size. It reminded me of the Sandlot dog. Like, you know, the size of that thing. It was huge.
I couldn't get over
scary dude.
Ariana's dad's little beard he had going just at the chin. I couldn't unsee it. I wasn't looking at his eyes.
That guy is like a famous character actor. I feel like he's been in a number of good films or TV shows. Like, I recognize that father character. And I even wrote down the actor name at one point, but I forget what it was. Like, he's got like one of those great faces that you just sort of see pop up again and again.
James is noting in the chat, saying, why is she working at the patch? She has tons of money from the settlement. Wouldn't that go towards the baby, maybe? Like, future?
Yeah, I think she ended up with, what, like $500,000 or $1 million in that settlement? This mm-hmm. is the settlement from Elvio getting killed. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good money, but you can't live, you know, she's in her 20s. You can't live the rest of your life off that. She still needs employment, I think. So I would guess that's the reason. Now, she could go back to school and get a little bit more of a higher paying job and not be just a bartender. But maybe that's down the road. She might just need to get out of the house.
Having to wrangle crusty men at the bar.
Yeah. Seems like a good gig, though, doesn't it? The old patch.
I don't know. I don't know if I would last a day there. There are two scenes. TL, if I'm being honest, hasn't necessarily been my favorite character in, I've enjoyed him, or I maybe not enjoyed, I've respected his character, but he hasn't, there's been nothing that's crossed a smile on my face or made me want to linger on his scenes. Really, there were two scenes this episode where I was like, I kind of like you.
Because I thought this was a great TL episode as well, but which one's did you appreciate?
The first one is when Angela and Ainsley, they come in from getting food. They're going to prepare a meal for TL and a celebration. A pirate night is what Angela is calling it. It's not for his birthday, right? It's just to celebrate him moving in with them, right?
That's right. It's just his first night there, so they're making him a special dinner.
Just the fact that you can tell TL just, there's a previous episode, it's just a hardened heart. And in that scene, you just see a softening and a tender side of him. And just the fact that he's laughing along with them, it genuinely warmed me up. I was like, wait, we have not seen TL laugh. And just the life, as annoying as Ainsley and Angela are, to have this scene even with them, of they're a reprieve for TL, it made their annoyance soften, and I just really enjoyed that. He's laughing, he's smiling. There's just a warmth that's not normally there for him.
Is it possible that he's been a warm character all along, but we're just looking at him through the eyes of who he was in 1883 and some of his other films, and having a hard time getting past the Shea Brennan character to see the heart of who T.L. Norris is?
No, No, because I'm personally seeing him as TL, and I'm gathering all these feelings from, I mean, man, that man has a resting RBF where he's just looking at the sky, where he's just interacting with everyone. And he looks like he's pissed off at the world. So no, I personally feel like my reactions on him are because of his character, not Sam Elliott's other roles.
The chat's already talking about it, but the scene, the line he has right after he's done talking to, right as Angela and Ainsley are talking, it's after the cackling crows line, where Angela says, "You don't want to listen to a bunch of cackling crows talk." And he says, "I'm just going to sit here and listen to the cackling crows." And he looks right at Ainsley and says, "You're just like her, or you look just like her." Like, she doesn't know that he's talking about his wife, it doesn't seem. But I think that right there is setting up the next stage of this season of Yellowstone. Like, that relationship, I think, is going to get strong. But TL's a tragic character, and tragic characters only end in tragedy, right? He doesn't get a happy ending, I don't feel like.
I wouldn't be surprised if he dies in season 4, but I think we're going to see a restoration of relationship with him and Tommy. I think we're just going to see a lot of restoration. No, I'm not saying this season, but 3 or 4.
Can I guess what your second favorite TL and your second favorite TL scene was?
You probably know. Go ahead.
You got a cool voice. Yeah, like the movie trailer guy. Coming soon to a movie theater near you. 2 men. 1 race. Only 1 winner. Tom Cruise is the Falcon.
Yeah, so I felt 2 ways about this. At first, I loved, once again, a little bit more lighthearted, tender side of TL, and of course loved seeing of Shelby on screen, loves getting more of Audrey McGraw. And then Billy, there was part of me that was like, this feels a little bit creepy that an old man is coming over to essentially a high schooler, because she wouldn't, because even Ainsley isn't in college yet, so high school age. Yeah. I
think this may be, this show is pretty hypersexualized.
Yeah.
And this scene was after the birthday party scene that was a hypersexualized scene. If this show wasn't like that, if we didn't have Ainsley and Angela as our female leads, I don't know if we would have read that scene the same way. But maybe we're interpreting all these interactions in sort of a flirty sense. I want to believe it was just innocent old man. Old men are kind of flirty with young girls, right? And it doesn't mean they're romantically interested, but did you ever go out to like breakfast with your grandpa and watch him flirt with the waitress? Like, it's adorable and it's fun.
They can get away with more things than the average Joe.
Yes, you absolutely can. You're a little old man. You got all the lines, you got it figured out, and they laugh and they know they're getting a big tip. Like, I feel that's the move TL is playing. I'm going to say, though, I thought, to your point, I thought the same thing, but I also thought Shelby was kind of giving it back a little bit. Like, she was not.
I wouldn't have played the whole trailer with Tom Cruise and, yeah, I wouldn't have done. She was definitely playing into it a little bit. I was like, girl, you're a few more conversations closer than I would have been.
I liked that Shelby finally had a scene, Audrey McGraw. And same. I'm seeing a lot of headlines out there like Tim McGraw's daughter introduced on Landman. It's like, yeah, she was around last season. Y'all missed it. Come join us. We've been here. Where you been?
I was about to say, I've been eating out of that bowl of soup for a while.
While I have a second here, first, an apology and a thank you for everybody who stuck with us through last week's technical difficulties. If you were trying to find us on the audio version of the podcast, we just scrapped it because our audio was so poor, specifically my audio. My microphone was really, really bad. I'm really surprised we had the audience we did because it was really difficult to listen to me. I didn't realize it in real time. Obviously, we're live here today, so we've solved some of those issues, but we've taken it off the Facebook live stream. I think that was part of the problem. And I don't know. Sometimes YouTube just don't work. You know, YouTube and this program we're using, like we've had a couple of instances where things just don't It's just like they had a bad day. It's very temperamental. And I think we got bit by that bug last week.
Yes. Thanks, y'all, for coming
back. Glad to have you back. One other quick note, though, is next week we're not going to be live because of the holiday. Mm-hmm. So Addison and I are going to record a version of the podcast a little later this week. And we'll roll that out at 2 p.m. next Tuesday. But it won't be a live podcast with a conversation. Small chance we have a special guest, but it'll just be a recorded version to kind of get through the holidays, and then we'll return on the 30th live.
Yeah, Billy doesn't want to deal with me over the holidays, y'all. That's why.
We did that one year.
We did, too. It was like, what, right before Christmas? No, Billy and I...
Yeah, we sold some sponsorships, so we had to like get like eight episodes in 6 days or something crazy like that.
That's right. People are, you know, eating Christmas dinner. Me and Billy are in the back trying to, do our podcast. Not this time, but we do get screeners ahead of time. So we will be covering, it won't be live, but we will be covering episode 6 because at that point, you and I will have already watched 6, just to clarify there.
100%. Yep. So we'll have a recap video of sorts and maybe even a little bit of a preview as well to the extent that we can.
Also, did you notice I'm wearing my Austin, Texas hat because I had to rep Texas since that's where Landman is filmed? Just really needed to let you know that.
You know, it's a good thing because I got to say, of all the 50 states in America, Texas is the most underrepresented state. Just a humble, humble state that goes out of its ways to deflect attention. So I was thinking, let's give Texas some love. No one ever gives Texas love. There's not like a whole industry or a whole like all of country music that's kind of built around praising Texas. So good, Addison. Good for you.
Yeah, it's so small and understated. I just needed to let it. No one's repping it. So I thought I would rep it today. This episode, and I will admit that I'm kind of teeing this up and I really can't go much farther than teeing it up. But in this episode, Rebecca finds herself into better understanding the embezzlement, wire fraud. Their $400 million is missing.
Let's get into this. This first is they have the meeting with Alan. Alan was the accountant from 2 episodes ago. They finally meet with him, and he starts to explain where the money is.
M. Miller Insurance and Casualty, a C Corp, is where all profit flows. From there, it's allocated into various funds, and then back into MTX Oil. For example, payables or debt service. Everything except the insurance company is zeroed out at the end of the year.
Why is all the money in an insurance company?
That's apparently what rich people do when they don't want to pay taxes. And it is an illegal. It is a legal, above board thing to do. It's an investment strategy. So I'm going to start from the scratch. This is
I'm confused. You worded that.
It's almost like life insurance. Like if you ever bought like whole life insurance, you can use that as an investment strategy. I think it's a similar concept. I don't understand that as much as I understand the rest of it. Actually, Monty was putting the money in an insurance plan. After doing all the payables, he was putting it into an insurance plan to not only avoid paying taxes, but also to invest. The missing $400, the $400 that came from the insurance company that's suing, that went into the bank. And its very existence triggered a matching loan. So they got another $400 million from a creditor. This loan is used to cover all the workovers that we saw in season 1, all the rebuilding of those wells.
Okay.
They take the other $400, the original $400, and they move that from the bank to the insurance company where it's invested in private equity funds. Suppose, in theory, a higher rate of return. Way to make your money work for you. Those funds have terms attached to them that if the terms aren't met, you either can't withdraw it or you withdraw it at a significant loss. At this point, the terms on those investments have not been met. So the $400 is there, but Cammy can't access it until they mature a little bit more, and then she can get her money out. But that does not solve her short-term problem. To solve that, Alan suggests they file for bankruptcy because all the money is in the insurance plan, which wouldn't be affected. Tommy and Cammy both really don't like that plan. Tommy doesn't have any idea what to do. Cammy wants to go get Dan Morrell's money.
Gotcha.
Get it? We good?
I do. I'm letting it marinate. It's like, did you enjoy my presentation? I won't be copy and pasting that into my life. Don't worry. But yes, no, that does make more sense, because I'm like, how do you just don't know where $400 million is? But I think knowing this and then inserting obviously Cammy and her kind of feeling like she knows how to run the ship, although Tommy has a large say in things, we start to kind of see their differing opinions. And then, of course, look at the sugar plum fairy coming in, Mr. Galino, here to just stir that pot up.
You know what's interesting, and big thanks to Susan, who sent us a super chat. We really appreciate that. What's interesting is that nobody is asking how Monty planned to pay for that offshore well. What was his plan to do? Because he knew he had to do that, right?
What's your point in saying that? And then Galino.
Well, Galino's the solution. And he comes in. Does it seem like he's trying to drive a wedge between Tommy and Cammy?
Part of me says yes. I think my initial, you know, I'm there for Tom and Norris infliction is to say yes. But then at the same time, I'm like, he's kind of just saying, like, this is my two cents. I'm not necessarily excluding you, Tommy. Like, you could be a part of my two cents, you know?
No, I think he's being more manipulative.
Okay.
I think we're going to see that in the trailer here. I think he's playing both sides against each other for one reason or another. But at this point, it does seem like he's the best option. He's got the money. They need it quickly. That's the only way they get moving. Gosh, I wonder where my biggest question is, where Cammy is going. Is she going to turn villain by the end of this? Or is she, I don't know.
She's not my favorite person right now.
Galino, by the way, the most lovable villain ever on TV. Like, I like that guy. Like, I feel like I'd go have beers with that guy.
He is someone who I will say is not making me hate him. There's been other villains in like Jamie Dutton. Like, there's been other villains in the Taylor Sheridan franchise that I actually hate.
This episode was called The Pirate Dinner. Mm-hmm. And it was an inconsequential scene at the end, but probably the scene that the episode is going to be best remembered for.
So much for the illusion of your miserable life, son.
Oh, there's misery, Pop. This is the Broadway misery musical of my life. Welcome to it.
And where would you like Thea?
Put him on the deck, Floss.
Oh, my God. You gotta be shitting me. The lawyer's dressed up like a pirate.
Oh, God.
I love the Broadway musical of my, or what do you say? The Broadway musical of my life.
Okay. The big question I have from this whole episode.
Uh-huh.
She had like 4 hours to turn this around, and somehow she built a plank for Tommy to walk up. She found very form-fitting costumes for everybody, men and women. She cooked a whole meal. She redecorated the whole living room. There was a parrot. I think it was fake, but I'm not entirely positive it was fake. And she cooked this huge meal. I didn't see staff. How in the hell is Angela? She must have just done like a rail of coke and just pshoo, off she went.
Yeah, the pirate costumes are not via Amazon. Those things are elaborate.
No. Rebecca looked good in hers. It fit her well. And of course, Ainsley's looked good. Like, even the men looked good in their costumes.
Dale killed me. They were all, yeah, it made me smile. I will say, I don't know why the fact that the whole episode was title was based on this feels a little much, but I did really like it. It brought some levity. It brought levity that wasn't surrounded by Angela or Ainsley.
It kind of seemed like Taylor Sheridan had an idea for this a long time ago and has just been waiting for some excuse to shoehorn it into the show.
Yes. Yes.
It was funny, but I kind of agree with Susan. You know, I could go without a themed dinner for an episode or two. One more this season is about all I want. One more good dinner season. The dinner scene.
Going into episode 6, like I said, I've already watched it. I've watched a screener. So I want to hear, Billy, your thoughts. Well, actually, no. Let's watch. Do you want to give your two cents on what's going to happen in episode 6? Or do you want to watch the trailer first?
Let's watch the trailer.
Okay.
Wow, that looks dangerous.
It is dangerous, but there's a beauty to it.
Next time on Landman.
What's the timeline to drill another well?
I don't have time to explain the game to you.
Nothing about this is how a company should be run.
No, I get the sense that she don't trust you.
She thinks I'm gonna lose her fortune.
When those sharks smell her doubt in you, they're gonna poison her with reason to get rid of you.
What scene in that clip stands out to you?
Something that I think is interesting, kind of to your point earlier of, do you think Galena's a bad guy or a good guy for Tommy and between Tommy and Cammy? Galena literally says, like, hey, people will sniff, the sharks will circle, they will sniff out that you are not, that you and Cammy are having issues. I kind of don't disagree with Galena, and that just made me think, maybe Galena really is team just like, let's all do business together. That kind of is that's helping Tommy.
But he's also very much courting Cammy separately at the rodeo.
True. I don't think it's a rodeo, but yes. Or I guess that is a rodeo.
Some sort of event like that. So it would appear that TL was at that same venue at the same time. Like, I'm not sure what that gathering's all about, because that scene where we see him kind of surrounded by police looking a little foggy-eyed, that goes back to the season 2 trailer where TL slugs a guy. He just looks crocked, like he's just really, really drunk. I'm wondering if this is the episode where we sort of get the dark side of TL and we see what Tommy saw growing up, and Tommy gets a little bit of vindication, a little I told you so about who his dad actually is.
Can I won't share any spoilers, but can I say a statement? There is a scene of TL that I think it's personally my most impactful moment with TL. And it's my favorite scene.
All right. Let me answer this question for me. If episode 6 was an emoji, which emoji would it be?
Billy, you should have let me, I don't deal with emojis a ton. I'm literally having to rack my brain on what emoji options are my options.
Let me give you some. All right, so there's a smile and then tears.
Can you loiter for a minute? And I'm going to talk amongst yourself.
Madison's got to familiarize herself with emojis. I thought for sure that she was emoji central, but I'm wondering if it's one of these. But we'll find out soon enough, I guess. Staff at tasteofcountry.com. We're going to get to trivia in just a second, as well as your questions and answers. I think we have 3 or 4 of them. I absolutely believe this is going to be a big Cammy, Tommy, and Galena episode, and a big TL episode. I didn't see Ariana and Cooper at all, so I kind of wonder if they're kind of playing a light role in this episode. But I guess we'll see.
I don't know how to show this on my phone without showing a text. Okay, let's see if I can do this. Yeah, I got it. This. Where it's going.
Yeah, all right. Fair, all right. Good. I was actually just hoping you would act it out. Can I get it one more time?
Wait, no hands.
Okay, fair enough. That's how we're going to communicate from now on, Addison.
Okay.
Emoji ratings.
Hey, you entered into that territory, so let's talk trivia for this upcoming week. Staff at tasteofcountry.com is where you can leave this trivia answer. So Billy, hit me.
Trivia this week for the Dutton Rules t-shirt. It is the one correct answer from all correct answers in the comment of the actual video, not the stream, or collected from the email at staff@tasteofcountry.com. We'll pick a number 1 through however many, and that person will be contacted to win the t-shirt. So if you do comment, look for a response to those comments so you know you won. And this week's question is actually really, really simple. It's a name question. What is Ariana's baby's name?
Sick.
She says it. She says it in this episode.
I know.
Or no, Cooper says it.
I'm trying to remember. Okay, well, we're going to have to circle back. I'm not going to loiter here and try to remember that one, but let's get into some Q&A if we're ready.
Hit me.
Okay. The first one is Dutton Ranch. What's up?
Short and sweet. Dutton Ranch seems to be, I mean, same answer as the Madison. We've heard about it, but we've heard no firm details. Whereas we know that the Madison is filmed. We don't know. I believe Dutton Ranch has filmed some scene based on local news reports in areas of Texas.
Uh-huh.
No firm details about a release date on that yet or any other cast info. So, gosh, if we got that before fall 2026, I'd really be surprised.
Possum Ranger on YouTube says, my theory is that Rebecca's love interest is going to be killed in an oil accident, and then she finds out she's pregnant, and it softens her to the plight of the employees' families. Well, we do think she might end up being pregnant, not obviously not in this season, but future seasons, just because in real life she quite literally is pregnant.
Yeah.
But I could
Charlie
see him
dying. Is his name, and we know he appears in episode 8. Does he appear in episode 6?
Wait, how do you know that he appears in episode 8?
Because we got some pre-season preview photos, and one of them was from episode 8, and he was in the photo.
He is in episode 6.
He's in episode 6 as well, so we know he's down for at least 3 episodes. I like this little romance. If it ends tragically, it is what it is, but it's kind of a not too silly, believable, kind of fun little... It's something else for Rebecca to do other than just to yell at people.
I agree. I'm not emotionally invested in this relationship, but it's fun seeing a little bit more giggly and feathers ruffled Rebecca when normally every feather is perfectly laid. Susan says, Sam Elliott will die in season 3. You mark my word. No, because didn't he say in an interview he's here for 2 more seasons? That would be 4.
No, I don't think Sam Elliott said that. You're talking about Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay, just kidding. He might die in season 3.
I think he's going to die in season 2, but that's why I think he's that tragic of a character. I think he doesn't make it through. Hey, Sam Elliott's kind of an old man. I don't know if you go booking this guy for 2-3 seasons.
Oh, that's sad.
It is sad, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, the last one I have for us is from Don on YouTube, who says, I'm so sick of Ariana. I was hoping they were not going to get back together, and her, you didn't fight for me, BS. You kicked him out, girl. I hate when women play games like that.
How do you feel about that? Like Ariana's, I think I mentioned this earlier in the episode. I'm kind of right with her. It's a little bit of it's a little triggering is what it is. If you've had a girlfriend that played those kind of games, it's very triggering back to those experiences.
No, I agree with you. I'm like, you can't say one thing. If you kick him out, he's going to follow that. You told him to do one thing. He's not going to do the opposite. So you can't be upset if he's not doing the opposite when you said be gone.
Yeah. That's an impossible situation you're putting him in. You're asking him to listen to you, but then not do what you say.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. They both have some maturing to do. Hopefully they get some counseling, some premarital counseling before this marriage, because there's just a lot of red flags. You know, a widow, they're young, both from divorced family. Like, I feel like there's just a lot that could go wrong in that marriage. I'm taking the under.
But I'm hoping we don't get all that on camera because that would be boring television. But yes, in a real life situation, I hope that that's the case.
A couple people saying that Sam Elliott say that he signed on for next season. I heard rumors of that too. I'm just not going to believe it until I see it.
Billy said, Sam Elliott's old. We don't know. We don't know if next season exists for him. I'm team Sam Elliott. Is a spring chicken.
Okay. Fair enough. If only for him and Shelby to have their relationship, their love blossom.
Disgusting. Okay. On this note, I'm wrapping up. I'm ending here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Staff@datesofcountry.com is where you can leave your trivia question as well as comments, thoughts. You can do that on the YouTube video as well. Don't forget to rate and review us on Spotify, Apple Music, and the Dutton Rules Yellowstone Franchise Podcast is another emoji-using Townsquare Media podcast.
A new one.
Bye, y'all.
Thanks, guys.